Lecture topic, An Ideal Couple, Part 1.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه وقال تعالى ولقد خلقنا الإنسان في كبد وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم أملك عليك لسانك وليسعك بيتك وابكي على خطيئتك أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, while it remains the passion of every couple to enhance their relation, while it remains the passion of every couple to enhance their relation and to positively contribute to the union, it is rather tragic, unfortunate, and wallah, at times ironical, that the measures we institute to supposedly achieve this contradicts our very sentiments, if not compounds the problem. You will agree with me, no sane human consults with a failure in society. Everybody is searching for the brilliant student, the successful politician, and the prosperous businessman. Yet you and I passionately read the marital lives of these so-called celebrities and glamorous humans who are, wallah, failures by their own confessions, as if their lives can add value to us. Why not study the biographies of those people whom the Quran has declared as successful, which the Arabic poet said, Hayhata, hayhata, an ya'ti zamanu bimithlihi, inna zamana bimithlihi labakhilu. Hayhata, hayhata, an ya'ti zamanu bimithlihi. He says, it is as if our women have become barren that they cannot reproduce the likes of Sahaba. إِنَّ الزَّمَانَ بِمِثْلِهِ لَبَخِيلُ I often say, and I'm a strong believer of this fact, for this ummah to once again prosper, it has to reflect over the glory of its past and study the lives of its pious predecessors, Salafus Salihin, and in particular the golden era of Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Now today I want to narrow my discussion to one aspect, and that is the social lives of Sahaba, simply because of the dilemma we are facing on the social front. And I present before you in this regard the tale of an ideal couple. And time permitting, ideal couples. But I guess before I do so, perhaps it would be wise to remind myself and you, what is the definition of an ideal couple? Many might argue that an ideal couple is a couple that doesn't have any differences, any bickering, any differences. I beg to differ with such a definition, and I beg to differ very strongly. In my humble opinion, while much can be said, may Allah guide me, but in my humble opinion, an ideal couple is a couple that has the maturity and the integrity to resolve their issues and to sustain the relation despite the differences. Just like a competent pilot is a pilot that can manage the flight during turbulence and maintain calmness in the cabin, nobody suggests that a competent pilot is one who does not experience turbulence. Just as turbulence is part of aviation, so is arguments part of marriage. The key word we are looking from the pilot and the couple is to manage it. And I'm referring to none other than Ja'far ibn Abi Talib and his honorable wife Asma bint Umays radiyallahu anhuma. To start off with Ja'far radiyallahu anhu in this amazing couple, apart from being the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, يذكر المؤرخون أنه كان في بني عبد مناف خمسة رجال يشبهون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أشد الشبه. Historians have written that there were five people from the descendants of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم who resembled his features to a great extent. Now appreciate the privilege of these people. Sometimes we resemble a prominent personality, and because of that we latch on to undue credibility. That's my brother. That's my cousin. We belong to the same tribe. We come from the same family, just because we have similar features. Understand these five individuals, they resemble the appearance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Namely, Abu Sufyan ibn Harith, ibn Ammi al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa akhuhu fi al-Rada'a. Not Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, Abu Sufyan ibn Harith, who was the cousin and the foster brother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qutham ibn Abbas, who was the brother of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Sa'ib ibn Ubaid ibn Yazid ibn Abd Hashim. This person, if you're familiar with the genealogy of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, you will know he is the fourth great grandfather of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. The fourth person was Hassan ibn Ali ashaddul khamsati shibhan, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the fifth person was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, Zawju Asma radiyallahu anha, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the spouse and the partner of Asma radiyallahu anha. But he enjoyed one amazing privilege over the others, and that is the hadith of Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ashbahta khalqi wa khuluqi." O Ja'far, you resemble my appearance and you equally possess my character. O Ja'far, you resemble my appearance, and that's what the poet said. إنما الفتى من يقولها أنا ذا وليس الفتى من يقول كان أبي وكان جدي. The true credibility goes out to that talented youth who can stand up and revive the likes of his pious predecessors. And there's no merit to that young boy who says, my late father was so brilliant and my late grandfather was so phenomenal. But what happened to you in the equation? These two people, that is Ja'far and his wife Asma radiyallahu anhuma, aslama ala yaday Abi Bakr as-Siddiq, they accepted Islam at the hands of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, qabla an yadkhula ar-rasul fi dar al-arqam, in the very initial stages of Islam. And soon after their marriage, they did not go for a honeymoon, but they were dispatched to Abyssinia in the second delegation that migrated. So let's have that into perspective. After the marriage, there was no honeymoon, but rather they migrated, and with migration came the challenges of migration. وَأَنْجَبَتْ لَهُ مُحَمَّدًا وَعَوْنًا وَعَبْدَاللَّهُ. And from the union, Allah blessed them with three sons. Namely, Muhammad, Aun, and Abdullah. Now all these three children were given birth to, وَلَدَتْ هُنَالِكَ فِي الْحَبْشَةِ, in a foreign, hostile, remote land of Abyssinia. We appreciate that generally in the marriage, when there is a child, then the relation takes a strain. The woman needs tender, she needs care, she needs moral support, maternity. Now there's this paternity leave also. So not only she's going off, he's also going off, whatever it is. But generally during childbirth, the relation takes a strain. Appreciate this woman, she bears three of her children in a foreign land. And as a point of history, لما ولدت ابنها عبد الله ولد للنجاشى ولد. When she gave birth to her son Abdullah, at that very same time Negus had a son as well. فأرسل إلى جعفر ابن أبي طالب ماذا سميت ابنك. With the grace of Allah, in one of my humble travels I went to Ethiopia. Until today there is a masjid by the name of the Masjid of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه. Just look at where Sahaba traveled and how Islam prospered. So the Negus, the king of Abyssinia, sent a message to Ja'far, ماذا سميت ابنك? What have you named your son? So Ja'far radiallahu anhu said, I have named him Abdullah. فَسَمَّ النَّجَاشِيُّ ابْنَهُ عَبْدَاللَّهُ. So Najashi also named his son Abdullah. And furthermore, it is mentioned in the narrations, فَأَخَذَتْهُ أَسْمَاء فَأَرْضَعَتْهُ بِلَبَنِهَا حَتَّى فَطَمَتْهُ. Asma radiallahu anha, in the foreign land of Abyssinia, nursed and suckled her own child Abdullah, and she equally nursed the son of Negus, the king of Abyssinia, his son Abdullah as well. Husband and wife spend more than a decade in a foreign land. Back in Makkah, things unfolded on a different note. In the 7th year of prophethood, sanctions were imposed on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Banu Hashim, which lasted for 3 consecutive years. And after the 10th year of prophethood, mata ammuhu Abu Talib, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's honorable uncle Abu Talib passed away. Wa ba'da thalathata ayyam tuwaffiyat zawjatuhu Khadija radhiyallahu anha, and 3 days thereafter his honorable consort Khadija radhiyallahu anha passed away. Hence history refers to this year as Ammul Huzn, the year of grief. In the 11th year of prophethood, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was favored with ascension to the heavens. And in the 13th year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him to migrate to Madinah Munawwara. Now, cutting a long story short, when he finally migrates to Madinah Munawwara, respectively the different campaigns took place, namely Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, etc. And I bring you to the 7th year of the migration, and that was when the Muslims were occupied in the conquest of Khaybar. They were occupied in the conquest of Khaybar. Allah makes reference to this in Surah Muhammad. فَعَلِمَ مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمُوا فَجَعَلَ مِن دُونِ ذَٰلِكَ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا, where Allah favored them with a conquest and a victory. When the Muslims of Abyssinia heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba have been victorious and they have conquered Khaybar, they decided to come back to Medina. This news was received with extreme joy and jubilation. In the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ma adri bi ayyihima ashaddu farahan, bi fathi Khaybar am bi qudumi Ja'far." I honestly don't know what brings greater joy to me. Is it the conquest of Khaybar, or is it the reunion with my cousin Ja'far, who is coming from Abyssinia? Bukhari Sharif, 2nd volume, Kitab al-Maghazi, under the heading Ghazwa to Khaybar, it is mentioned when they returned from Abyssinia and they came to Medina Munawwara, دخلت أسماء على حفصة زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم زائرة. أسماء رضي الله عنها, the wife of Ja'far, she said, "We've come to Medina, let me go and visit the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, namely Hafsa radiyallahu anha." The hadith of Bukhari. So she comes to visit Hafsa radiyallahu anha, and just then Umar radiyallahu anhu comes to visit his daughter as well. So Umar radiyallahu anhu said, "Man hadhihi? Oh my daughter, who's this woman that came home?" The hadith of Bukhari. So Hafsa radiyallahu anha said, "Asma." This is Asma. So Umar radiyallahu anhu, for more clarification, he said, الحبشية هذه البحرية هذه. Are we referring to the woman that went to Abyssinia and migrated with her husband? Are we referring to the woman who came on the boat and they came to Medina now? So Hafsa radiallahu anhu indicated, yes, that's the very same woman, this is Asma. So Umar radiallahu anhu made the following remark to her. He looked at her politely, modestly, and he said, سبقناكم بالهجرة سبقناكم بالهجرة فَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ مِنْكُمْ. Listen, O Asma, you came to Medina now. We migrated way before you. So we are closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than you possibly can be. Asma radiallahu anha said, كَلَّا وَاللَّهُ. You know, they say, "I don't buy that from you." كَلَّا وَاللَّهُ, I beg to differ with you. كُنْتُمْ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, I'm in agreement that you migrated with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then your privileges were as follow: yut'imu ja'i'akum wa ya'idhu jahilakum wa kunna fi dar al bu'ada al bughada wa dhalika fi Allahi wa fi rasulihi. She said, "Oh Umar, you migrated with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I agree with that. That's a privilege. But then your privilege was the hungry amongst you were fed, the ignorant amongst you were educated, and myself and my husband and those with us, وَكُنَّا فِي دَارِ الْبُعَدَاءِ الْبُغَضَاءِ, we were in a foreign land, we were in a hostile land, وَذَلِكَ فِي اللَّهِ وَفِي رَسُولِهِ, and we persevered in our marriage, and all the challenges that came upon us, we endured for the pleasure of Allah, وَكُنَّا نُؤْذَى وَنُخَافِ, and a host of atrocities were meted out against us. وَيْمُ اللَّهِ لا أطعم طعاما ولا أشرب شرابا حتى أذكر ما قلت لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I swear by Allah, Umar, I will not eat a morsel of food, nor will I sip water until I don't go and mention this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And furthermore, wallahi la akdhibu wala azighu wala azidu. I will not speak a lie, I will not distort, and I will not exaggerate. Now that's such a vital rule, that's such an integral part. How often when we have a crisis and we have outside intervention, then we exaggerate the crisis. You know, they say, no offense to my Canadian sisters, this refers to other women, not you. They say the three fastest ways of communication: television, telecommunication, and telewoman. And even faster, tell her not to tell anyone. Like I said, this doesn't apply to the Canadian sisters, this is in Africa. What did she say? Wallahi la akdhibu wala azighu wala azidu. I'm not going to exaggerate it, I'm not going to distort it, and I will not speak a lie. Subhanallah, she comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulallah, inna Umar qala kadha wa kadha. O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like I said, this is not from any book, this is the hadith of Bukhari. This again is my pain, how little we know of the prophetic teachings. O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umar has said such and such things. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَمَاذَا قُلْتِ لَهُ? And O Asma, what was your answer? So she said, قُلْتُ لَهُ كَذَا وَكَذَا. O Prophet of Allah, I said to him like this and like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيْسَ بِأَحَقَّ بِي مِنْكُمْ لَهُ وَلِأَصْحَابِهِ هِجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ وَلَكُمْ أَهْلَ السَّفِينَةِ هِجْرَتَانِ. Nobody can possibly be closer to me, Asma, than you, your husband, and those that were with you. For Umar and the likes of Umar is the reward of one migration, and we don't trivialize it. But for you and those that were with you is the reward of a dual migration. Every one of us speaks of Uthman Dhun Nurain, the possessor of two lights, and rightfully so. But the hadith of Bukhari calls Asma Dhul Hijratain. The hadith of Bukhari refers to Asma as a dual migration. So she migrated with her husband, and look at the rewards it brought for her. Fathul Bari, 7th volume, under the commentary of this hadith, Asma radiallahu anha says, فَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ أَبَا مُوسَى وَأَصْحَابَ السَّفِينَةِ يَأْتُونَنِي أَرْسَالًا يَسْأَلُونِي عَنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فَوَاللَّهِ مَا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا شَيْءٌ هم به أفرح ولا أعظم في أنفسهم مما قال لهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولقد رأيت أبا موسى وإنه ليستعيد هذا الحديث مني. أسماء رضي الله عنها says, when this news broke out amongst the migrants of Abyssinia, they were gripped with joy. They came to me in droves and in scores and in multitudes. And they would say, Asma, just repeat, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? And she would say that he has elevated our migration to two. There was nothing in the world that meant more to them than this hadith. And then she goes on to say, she says, Abu Musa Ash'ari, whenever he saw me, he would sit me down and he would say, Asma, repeat that hadith to me. It's the most soothing thing. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ أَبَا مُوسَى وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسْتَعِيدُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ مِنِّي. So anyway, this is one angle to the life of Asma and her husband, Ja'far radiallahu anhu. So they migrate and they come to Medina. The initial relation they spend in Abyssinia. Three children they enjoy in the union. This was the 7th year of migration. In the 8th year of migration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam dispatches her husband Ja'far radiallahu anhu towards Muta. Now, if you're familiar with Islamic history, you will know that Muta is a very, very ferocious battle that was fought in the annals of Islamic history. Geographically, it falls in present-day Jordan. In one of my humble trips, again, I had the privilege of going to the precise location. And trust me, if you stand there and revive what those people have done for the cause of deen, you will sob like a child. In the hadith of Bukhari, when the Prophet ﷺ dispatched the leaders of this particular campaign, He made Zayd ibn Haritha the leader. And he said, إِن قُتِلَ زَيْدٌ فَجَعْفَرٌ وَإِن قُتِلَ جَعْفَرٌ فَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنِ رَوَاحَ. That Zayd would lead this army, and if he passes away, then Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, my cousin, and if Ja'far passes away, then Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiyallahu anhu. So again, Asma radiyallahu anha faces a second challenge in the relation. So her husband goes and bids farewell. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi, and Allah unveils and unfolds the happenings of Muta before him in Medina Munawwara. And he sees that there goes Zayd ibn Haritha. And then Ja'far ibn Abi Talib comes. Ya habbadha al-jannati wa qatirabuha tayyibatan wa baridan sharabuha. As Ja'far radiallahu anhu advances, he says, oh paradise, how fragrant you are. How palatable and soothing your drinks are. And once again his life is presented. And then Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu goes forward. And his life is presented, which Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, وَجْدًا عَلَى الَّذِينَ تَتَابَعُوا يَوْمًا بِمُوتَ أُسْنِدُوا وَلَمْ يُنْقَلُوا صَلَّى الْإِلَهُ عَلَيْهِمُ مِنْ فِتْيَةٍ وَسَقَى عِظَامَهُمْ الْغَمَامُ الْمُسْبِلُ فَتَغَيَّرَ الْقَمْرُ الْمُنِيرُ لِفَقْدِهِ وَالشَّمْسُ قَدْ كَسَفَتْ وَكَادَتْ تَأْفِلُ. He said, my heart laments those that passed away in succession. صَلَّى الْإِلَهُ عَلَيْهِمُ مِنْ فِتْيَةٍ. May Allah shower His blessings on these youth. وَسَقَى عِظَامَهُمْ الْغَمَامُ الْمُسْبِلُ. And may the cloud rain mercy on their bones and their flesh. فَتَغَيَّرَ الْقَمْرُ الْمُنِيرُ لِفَقْدِهِ. He says, lamenting the death of Ja'far, even the moon lost its brightness. وَالشَّمْسُ قَدْ كَسَفَتْ وَكَادَتْ تَأْفِلُ. Nay, even the sun eclipsed over the demise of Ja'far. Now comes the sensitive issue, and that is to break the news at home. How do we break the news to the widow of Ja'far radiallahu anhu? The ayat al-kareema that I recited, Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadaha. O man, verily you will go from station to station, from challenge to challenge, from toiling to toiling, from adversity to adversity. Walaqad khalaqna al-insana fi kabad. The very temperament of our existence on planet Earth is surrounded by challenges. Not marriage in particular, but that's the nature of life. Imam Suyuti makes mention of the narration, for Allah's sake, give me your undivided attention. In particular, my sister as well. Asma radiallahu anha says, Lamma usiba Ja'farun wa ashabu. When my husband Ja'far and his companions passed away, دَخَلَ عَلَيَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came home. Now at times we make a sudden presence at the house of our son or our daughter or son-in-law, daughter-in-law, whatever it is. And sometimes it's not a pleasant sight that meets with us. The children are not tidy, the house is not clean, it's not very impressive. Let's just see what's the layout in the house of Ja'far radiallahu anhu. She says, وَقَدْ عَجَنْتُ عَجِينِي وَدَهَنْتُ صِبِيَانِي وَغَسَّلْتُهُمْ وَنَظَّفْتُهُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a sudden appearance. But subhanallah, the dough was prepared, the meal was being cooked, I had lotioned my children, everyone respectively had taken a bath. This is the words of the narration. Historians write as if she was preparing them for an event. As if she was inspired. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walks in and he says, I'tini bi bani Ja'far. Asma, can you please send the children of Ja'far to me? I read this, I cried. You might ask me why I'm crying, my brother. I say to you very politely, when there is a knock at my door or the doorbell rings and I answer the intercom, it's my honorable father or it's my respected brother. So I say to my children, go, your grandfather, your dada came to play with you or your uncle came to play with you. Can you or can the words of any language encapsulate the privilege of the children of Ja'far, that there is a knock on the door. Asma inquires, who is it? The answer is, it's the Prophet of Allah. Asma tells her children, go my children, Allah's Nabi came to play with you. Go my children, Allah's Nabi came to play with you. I'tini bi bani Ja'far. Asma radiallahu anha said, from the blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I sensed grief. But I did not dare ask anything, makhafata an asma' ma akra. Least I have to hear something unpleasant. But from his blessed face, I gathered things were not looking pleasant. So I send my children and I say, go. Fashammahum wa qabbalahum wa dharafat ayna Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bil buka. My Nabi embraced them. The riwayat of Nasa'i, فَجِئَ بِنَا كَأَنَّنَا أَفْرَاخ. We came running like innocent children. We were like nestlings, like small birds. What we knew? We came running. فَشَمَّهُمْ وَقَبَّلَهُمْ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hugged one, embraced the second, kissed the third. وَذَرَفَتْ عَيْنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ بِالْبُكَى. And just then my Nabi's tears started rolling and he started sobbing. Asma said, from a distance I watched. I stood, I observed, I seen tears, I broke down emotionally. I said, Bi abi anta wa ummi ya Rasulallah, ma yubkika, abalagaka an Ja'farin wa ashabihi shay. My opening words were, for this ummah to prosper, it has to reflect over the glory of its past. It has to study the lives of the pious predecessors. An ideal couple is a couple that has the strength to shoulder one another. What a trying period for Asma. Oh my Nabi, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Have you heard anything regarding my husband Ja'far and his companions? Nabi Sassam says, Usibu fi hadha al-yawm. Usibu fi hadha al-yawm. Oh Asma, hold yourself, persevere and endure. Your husband alongside with his colleagues have been accepted. La tadribi sadran wa la taquli hajran. Oh Asma, do not throw any tantrums. In one statement, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam condensed all the counseling that any counselor or any psychologist can give you. You want to go for counseling and psychology? In one statement he said, La tadribi sadran wa la taquli hajran. Oh Asma, you want to cry? By all means. Do not blurt anything that questions the authority of Allah. Wa la taquli hajran. And do not mourn in a manner that is un-Islamic. Just then Fatima radiallahu anha walks in and she says, Wa amma, wa amma. What a uncle my... What an uncle Ja'far was, what an uncle we have lost. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala mithli Ja'far faltabkil bakiyatu. Ala mithli Ja'far faltabkil bakiya. Indeed, my daughter, you are right. Ja'far, my cousin, your uncle was a man that his demise warrants the tears of women. Isna'u li ali Ja'far ta'am. You people arrange food for the family of Ja'far. He called someone, he said, take these children, shave their hair, trim their hair, attend to them. And he said, this family has been gripped in grief. Abdullah ibn Umar says, Kuntu fi tilka al-ghazwa, also the riwayat of Bukhari. I was present in that battle. Faltamasna Ja'faran. We started for our search for Ja'far. Fawajadnahu fil qatla. We found him amongst the deceased. Fawajadna fima aqbala min jismihi. We found that he had sustained more than 90 wounds on the front portion of his body. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoled Asma in the following way. I quote before you three narrations. The riwayat of Tirmidhi, he said, Ra'aytu Ja'faran yatiru fil jannati ma'al malaika. I seen Ja'far flying in paradise with the angels. The riwayat of Hakim ibn Abbas says, we were sitting, wa asma'u qareebatun minna. And Asma radiallahu anha was sitting close by. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Asma, هذا جعفر قد مر مع جبريل وميكائيل. Oh Asma, take solace, there goes your angel escorted with Jibreel and Mikael. The riwayat of Tabaqat ibn Sa'ad, Abdullah ibn Umar says, كُنَّا جُلُوسًا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. We were sitting with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَرَفَعَ بَصَرَهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. He lifted his gaze to the heavens and then politely he said, وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. So Abdullah ibn Umar said, I could not contain myself. I said, مَا كُنْتَ تَصْنَعْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Prophet of Allah, nobody greeted you. Who were you replying? He said, مَرَّ جَعْفَرُ ابْنُ أَبِي طَالِبْ فِي مَلَئٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيَّ. Ja'far has just passed by with the angels and he greeted me and I responded to his salam. I honestly don't know, and perhaps you can give me the answer. Was it the privilege of Ja'far to have a wife like Asma, or was it the privilege of Asma to have a husband like Ja'far? I guess you'll agree with me, respectively, both of them were favorites. After the demise of Ja'far radiallahu anhu, spot on 2 years after the demise, after her iddat was over, 6 months thereafter, on the occasion of Hunayn, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got Asma radiallahu anha married to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. That is why one amazing privilege of this woman is تزوجت أكابر الصحابة. Her first husband was Ja'far radiallahu anhu. Her second husband was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is an honorable woman, my sister. Not that youngster, his first car was this, his second car was that. Look at the privilege of this woman. Her first husband Ja'far, her second husband Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. On the occasion of Hunayn, she got married to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And exactly 2 years after the marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the union with a son. And where was the son born? This is something else. فَوَلَدَتْ مُحَمَّدًا بِذِي الْحُلَيْفَةِ. She gives birth to her son on the journey of Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Dhul Hulayfa. Now you want to read about some celebrity and some actress that has a child and she still has a slim figure. So she's a mother also and she's a celebrity also. And read about her, how she juggles herself between the fame that she enjoys in the world. And yet she's a happy woman at home. Well, ask her husband how happy is he. Ask her husband. For me to say, you know, for a mother-in-law to say how good that daughter-in-law is, or for a daughter-in-law to say how good that mother-in-law is, it defeats the essence. It defeats the essence. Appreciate this woman. She gives birth to her child. Imagine the journey of Hajj with labor, with pregnancy. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is now confused. The Prophet said, Murha faltaghtasil. Tell her to perform her ghusl and don her ihram, and she's joining us for Hajj. And this child is born in the journey of Hajj. And what does she name her son? She names her son Muhammad. So let's not forget, she has 3 sons from the first marriage, Aun, Muhammad and Abdullah. And she names her son from her second husband also Muhammad. So she names 2 of her own sons Muhammad, subhanallah. This was the intense love. And we say, no, we got a Muhammad in the family. So you got rich people in the family, why you want to be rich? No, that's their money. So that's their Muhammad. No, in money matters, you know, we have it separate. That's their Muhammad. This is your Muhammad. That's their Aisha. This is your Aisha. A woman names 2 of her own children Muhammad. She performs Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What more do you want to know? A woman that makes Hajj with her husband Abu Bakr, gives birth, and then Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the final Hajj. In the 11th year when the son of Nubuwwat sets, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away, we can imagine the grief that every Sahabi experienced, and Asma was no less. Weeks thereafter, Fatima radiallahu anha calls her. Usudul Ghaba, the narration is there. Fatima radiallahu anha calls Asma radiallahu anha and she says, Asma, you know what? I am concerned about something. Now that my father is gone, and I think shortly I will move on. And we know Fatima radiallahu anha was the first to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the family. But I am very concerned about the preservation of my modesty at my funeral. What was the concern of Fatima? Not about the deco at my wedding hall. Not about how the photographer will come in, how the food, the trimmings and the draping and all the extras. I am concerned about the preservation of my modesty. So Asma radiallahu anha said, Ala uriki shay'an ra'aytuhu bil habsha. Can I not share with you something that I observed in Abyssinia when I was there with my first husband Jafar radiallahu anhu? A practice that I observed. So she said, please do. Fada'at bi jarid. She asked for the twigs of a tree. And she erected it. Thumma tarahat alayha thawban. And then she put a cloth over it, creating like a canopy. And she said in Abyssinia, whenever a woman would pass away, we would observe this practice to maintain the bashfulness of that woman. So when Fatima radiallahu anha seen this, she was elated. She said, Ma ahsana hadha wa ajmala. Tu'rafu bihi al-mar'atu min al-rajul. This is brilliant. This is phenomenal. This distinguishes the funeral of a woman from that of a man. فَإِذَا مِتُّ أَنَا فَغْسِلِينِي أَنْتِ. Asma, when I pass away, I want you to be present at my funeral. And I want you to give me ghusl and you maintain and preserve this. When Fatima radiallahu anha passed away, again Asma, this woman, was called on. Before my sister, you celebrate any woman's day, for Allah's sake, idolize the correct woman. Understand who this woman was. Asma was present and she gave ghusl to Fatima radiallahu anha. Not long thereafter, we know the reign of Abu Bakr was very short. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, again he made wasiyat, his request and his bequest, that ghusl must be given to me by Asma. فَغَسَلَّتْهُ بِوَصِيَّةٍ مِّنْهُ. Asma radiallahu anha gave ghusl to Fatima. She gave ghusl to her husband Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as well. She goes again into iddat. And after iddat, for a third time she gets married. And who does she get married to now? Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. She gets married to Fatih al-Khaybar, the fourth Khalifa of Islam, Ali radiallahu anhu. Her son Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr was only 3 years old at that time. And then we say, you know, I have persevered so much. Her son was only 3 years old. She gets married to Ali radiallahu anhu. In Tabaqat ibn Sa'd, there is an amazing incident that is mentioned. One day, while she was in the union of Ali radiallahu anhu, two of her sons had an argument. فَتَفَاخَرَ مَرَّةً وَلَدَاهُمَا Muhammad ibn Jafar wa Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. Kullu wahidin minhuma yaqul ana khayrun minka wa abi khayrun min abik. Her sons had an argument. What was the argument? Now how often when the children have an argument, then it becomes sensitive, the parents end up arguing, and then it strains the relation, and the wife feels that, you know what, you're not siding with me, you're siding with the children, or the vice versa. Appreciate the complexity of the situation here. It's two of her sons. The first son is from her first husband who is late. The second son is from her second husband who is late. It happens in the presence while she's married to her third husband. What is the argument? To add salt to injury, to compound the problem. Every one of the two sons are saying, I'm better than you and my father is better than your father. كل واحد منهما يقول أنا خير منك وأبي خير من أبيك. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, اقضي بينهما يا أسماء. أسماء, your sons, your husband, sort it out. Generally, women, when the children are arguing, come see your children. Tell your father what you people are up to. And mashallah, when he excels in school or in academics, you've seen my son's marks. Brilliant, my sister, when he excels, he's your son. When it's anything else, he's mine. No problem. Ali radiallahu anhu said, Asma, your sons, your late husband. What a woman. May my parents be sacrificed for you, Asma. The world in its entirety cannot produce your like. She said, oh, my children, don't become, you know, it's such an emotional thing. Because you say, oh, you know, if his father was alive, his father would have comforted him. If his late father was here, it would have been so nice for me. Subhanallah, integrity, maturity, composure. She said, ما رأيت شابا خيرا من جعفر ولا رأيت كهلا خيرا من أبي بكر. I must tell you, from the youth of Sahaba, there was nobody like your father Ja'far. And from the elderly, there was nobody like your father Abu Bakr. From the youth, oh my son, your father stood out. From the elderly, your father stood out. Ali radiallahu anhu said, وَلَوْ قُلْتِ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ لَمَقَدْتُكِ. Oh my wife Asma, I salute you and I compliment you. You haven't been disloyal to the first husband, nor have you offended the second one. But I must tell you, فَمَا تَرَكْتِ لَنَا شَيْئًا. Number one, featured the best amongst the youth. Number two, featured the best amongst the elderly. Where does number three stand? This poor character is just hanging in the air. فَمَا تَرَكْتِ. Wallah, read their lives. Why are you reading other lives? Do you lack something? You don't have a rich legacy? Are you desperate, going around knocking doors for information and literature? They lived the normal life that you and I lived, but they had the compass that was correct. Asma radiallahu anha said, obviously in jest and in lightheartedness, إِنَّ ثَلَاثَةً أَنْتَ أَقَلُّهُمْ لَخِيَارٌ. You came number three, so you feature number three. Subhanallah, what a woman. From this union with Ali radiallahu anhu, she had one son by the name of Yahya. فَوَلَدَتْ لَهُ يَحْيَى. So she had five sons in total. وَمِنْ فَضَائِلِهَا أَنَّهَا اشْتَهَرَتْ بِتَأْوِيلِ الرُّؤْيَا. She had an amazing eye when it came to the interpretation of dreams. فَقَدْ رَآ عُمَرُ فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنَّ دِيكًا نَقَرَهُ تَحْتَ سُرَّتِهِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. Umar ibn Khattab had a vision that a crow came and pecked him below his navel twice. It is mentioned in the narration, Umar, who was the leader of the Muslims, فَسَأَلَ عُمَرُ أَسْمَاءَ عَنْ تَأْوِيلِ الرُّؤْيَا. Umar said, I don't want to ask anyone. I am going to the house of Asma. Asma will interpret my dream. Oh my sister, we have such women in our history that even the leader of this ummah came knocking at her door. Umar ibn Khattab said, I want the interpretation of Asma. She said, هذا رجل أعجمي يصيبك. هذا رجل أعجمي يصيبك. It's crude, it's harsh. But let me tell you, Umar, this is an indication that a stranger will come and he will attack you and it will prove to be fatal and claim your life. ومرت الأيام, few days pass. فطعنه أبو لؤلؤ بسكين تحت سرته. When Abu Lu'lu', the slave of Mughira ibn Shu'bah, came with a dagger and struck Umar radiallahu anhu, وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدَرًا مَقْدُورًا, and it proved to be fatal and ultimately claimed the life of Umar ibn Khattab. رَوَتْ سِتِّينَ حَدِيثًا, she narrates 60 أحاديث. أَخْرَجَهَا مُسْلِمٌ وَأَصْحَابُ السُّنَنِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ, which Imam Muslim and Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasai and Ibn Majah narrates. In fact, Hassan Abdullah ibn Ja'far used to say, Abu Dawud narrates it, عَلَّمَتْنِي أُمِّي أَسْمَى. My mother Asma taught me a hadith which she directly heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that whenever she encountered any difficulty to read the following dua, اللَّهُ رَبِّي لَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Whenever my mother went through any difficulty, she read this dua and she heard this directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the 38th year of Hijrah, she lost her son Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr in Misr. And that was also a very, very sad tale. The riwayat of Isaba, قامت إلى مسجد بيتها وكذمت غيظها. This told upon her health and she became very sick. And it wasn't long after that that Ali radiallahu anhu passed away and she also passed away. So in a nutshell, if you look at the life of Asma and her husband Ja'far, or her husbands respectively, you will find this was an ideal couple in the sense that they had the maturity to manage that relation. Now another very amazing couple that I want to share with you is that of Sulaim and her husband Abu Talha. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu goes to propose to Sulaim. Not with a fancy CV. He goes and he says, جِئْتُكِ خَاتِبًا فَأَرْجُوا أَلَّا أُرَدَّ خَائِبًا. I have come to propose to you. And I am optimistic that you will not decline. You know, they say, on a lighter note, that a man holds a woman's hand before marriage out of love, and after marriage out of self-defense. Before marriage, he holds it out of love, and after marriage out of self-defense. Why does the bride and the groom shake hands on their wedding day? Say it's a formality, like two boxers shake hands before the fight begins. It's a formality, man. You know, you'll see if you're familiar with boxing, you shake hands and then the fight goes. I have proposed to you and I'm optimistic that you will not decline. Umm Sulaym says, لَكِنَّكَ رَجُلٌ كَافِرٌ وَأَنَا إِمْرَأَةٌ مُسْلِمَةٌ فَإِنْ أَسْلَمْتَ فَذَاكَ مَهْرِي وَلَا أُرِيدُ صَدَاقٍ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ. I don't have a problem and I don't want to refuse you. A man like you, phenomenal, brilliant. What women say is a smart guy. But obviously you're not a believer and I believe in the oneness of Allah. If you embrace the faith, that is my dowry and I want nothing more. Abu Talha said, let me sleep over the matter. He comes back. He says, I am happy. La ilaha illallah, he recites the kalima. Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha says, Radituka zawjan. I am happy with you as my partner. And I don't want dowry. فَجَعَلَ النَّاسُ يَقُولُونَ وَاللَّهِ مَا سَمِعْنَا بِإِمْرَأَةٍ كَانَتْ أَكْرَمَ مَهْرًا مِنْ أُمِّ سُلَيْمٍ إِذْ كَانَ مَهْرُهَا الْإِسْلَامُ. We've never heard of a more impressive dowry than Umm Sulaym. Her dowry was her husband embracing the truth. Nothing more. Nothing lavish, nothing fancy. I want you to embrace the truth and that's my dowry. But then subhanallah, look at Abu Talha. One day he's sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a visitor comes. There is no food. فَبَعْثَ إِلَىٰ نِسَائِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ sends a message, the hadith of Bukhari. Sends a message home. He asks all his wives, I have someone, can I bring him home? Every one of them answers by saying, مَا مَعَنَا إِلَّا الْمَا. We have nothing at home but water. Nothing but water. So the Prophet ﷺ says, مَنْ يُضِيفُ هَذَا. Who will take this man home? فَقَامَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْأَنصَارِ يُقَالُ لَهُ أَبُو طَلْحَ. One person stands up, better known as Abu Talha. He said, I will take him, O Prophet of Allah. He comes home, he tells his wife, Akrimi Dhaifa Rasulillah. This is the visitor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look after him. So the wife, Ma indana illa qutu sibyani. I don't have anything. I only have the basic food for the children and nobody else. So he said, that's not an issue. Nawwimi sibyanaki. Put them off to sleep. You and I will pretend like we're eating and we'll give the little food to the visitor. So anyway, she lulls the children off to sleep. She dims the light. And they create this act, but Allah is watching. And this man eats the food. The entire family goes to sleep hungry. But the family is bonded. You and I go and eat out on a Saturday night. And we spend good few dollars. And if you got seafood taste, then it will cost you even more. We spend good $30, $40, $50, whatever it is. And then we moaning and we groaning, the children didn't eat, the food wasn't cooked well, it wasn't prepared, it was cold, etc. We spend our time and our money and our effort, and we come out of that restaurant more divided and disunited. Who said eating out is vital to bond the family? An entire family sleeps at home on a hungry stomach.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.